We are asking one big question about every NFL team, specifically their quarterback. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We've also got a best nickname in sports bracket that we are working our way through. That is our summer project, one of them, to find the greatest sports nickname in the history of sports.
Yeah. Yes.
Sports. But we are debuting a new segment today. Manny, I'm just dropping this on you right now. Are we ready to do it?
Oh, we're so ready.
Let's go.
It's great for the NFL that you have great quarterback play.
Finding the right quarterback can change your franchise forever.
Can you throw it like a quarterback third in a line?
32 teams, each with just one signal caller.
It's my quarterback.
Maggie and Perloff answer one big question about the quarterback.
All right, Pearl, fantastic job by EJ there on the production. And EJ is going to be asking us this question. We're going to take one team a day. And by our calculations, this should lead us right up to the beginning of the season. So, EJ, where are we starting and what's the one big quarterback question?
That trick is crazy.
So we're going to start out east. With the Philadelphia Eagles, the Super Bowl champs, which means we got to talk about Jalen Hurts. And I was curious about this question because we heard this from Cam Newton on 4th and 1, talking about why he doesn't think Jalen Hurts is a top 10 QB.
Now, I know everybody's going to get mad at this.
Cam hating on Jalen Hurts.
It's hard for me to grade Jalen Hurts with the talent that he has around him. Jalen Hurts is a great quarterback. But if we're talking about what they bring to the table holistically, it's hard to judge what Jalen Hurts can do when you're throwing to a guy like A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. We have tight end skill set. You have a dominant defense, the best running back in the game. Download Madden and see how many stars is on the offensive side of Philly.
So download Madden, guys, and see how many stars. Good point by Cam Newton there.
No, thank you.
So I ask you guys, is Jalen Hurts a top 10 quarterback?
Perloff, you are the resident Eagle fan here. You guys are the reigning and defending Super Bowl champs, and Jalen Hurts is the Super Bowl MVP.
One moment here. Can you you could go first because I have to get a prop here.
Uh-oh. A prop? What could he possibly be getting here? Oh, he's got his Hurts jersey.
Oh gosh,
we've done it now. You know, I'm so glad we actually did the Eagles today to get this over with so we could just.
Oh my God.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
That looks like a Jets jersey.
To victory. Top 10, try top 6. Yes.
Wow. Amazing. Bring it back up.
I think top 3. Yes, of course, Jalen Hurts is a top 10 quarterback, not just because he has the ring. Dude is so underrated and has been for a long time. Yes, whoever was bringing up those points, yes, the Eagles have all these stars. Yeah. Cam Newton. But the truth is, when they've needed to rely on Hurts in the past, partly because of his legs, he's been able to do it. Just because everyone around you is good doesn't mean you're not good, too. I think Jalen Hurts, based on mostly his postseason experience, distinguishes him from everybody else who's around this top 10 list. So, honestly, I understand the top 4. There's no doubt about it. It's Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Patrick Mahomes. And then I can make an argument for Hurts over any. I happen to have Matthew Stafford probably 5th, and then Jalen Hurts at 6.
Okay, here's my question for the Jalen Hurts is a no doubt top 10 quarterback in the NFL right now. Can I ask you this question? If we put Jalen Hurts on a different team, would they even be a playoff team?
Yes.
And the second, if you didn't have the tush push, would Jalen Hurts be and have the success that he's had? Because I remember a time, I don't know, it was around week 13, and the Eagles almost lost to the Carolina Panthers. And A.J. Brown was beyond upset. And when he was asked why he's upset, it was because he said what? The passing game is broken. The passing game was an issue. That's week 13 of the season, okay? And Jalen Hurts agreed with him. If you don't have a good passing game and you are the quarterback of that team, if you are elite, there's never a problem with the passing game. You are the passer. Jalen Hurts has a lot of skill. I'm not here to tell you that he is not worthy of being a champion. But if you're asking me if he's an elite quarterback, yeah, he had a great playoff run. Is he elite, though, consistently in the passing game? he does benefit from the system around him, from the talent around him, and from the tush push. That is 100% true. He's not an elite, elite passer, not like the guys you mentioned.
I just think it's because of the system. Like, they really, ever since he got there, too, they do not want him to open up the floodgates and throw the ball like crazy. Maybe because he does lack. Maybe
I was going to say, is that because they know that he does, can't do that?
Well,
not can't, but when he was really passing a lot, he threw 15 picks 2 years ago.
Well, yeah, I think that it's just a function. But when you need him in the playoffs, he's deadly. Remember the second half of the Chiefs game, which they actually lost? Like, he was picking apart the field. I think he just holds back for the benefit of the team. I think he's like, okay, we're going to go conservative. And the thing about him, too, is 3 years ago, like, he was an amazing runner. Like, you can't, he's not nearly as electric as Lamar Jackson, but his legs make a massive difference. So that's a thing where that really distinguishes him from some of the, like, for example, I would take him over Jared Goff because he will escape out of pressure so many times. He avoids so many sacks. He keeps the team on the field. Yes, he's not throwing 50-yard bombs every play, although he is pretty good at that pass, specifically to A.J. Brown. Yes, he's not throwing for 4,500 yards like some of these quarterbacks, but he's doing so many little things to help the team win. I think, like, you really, do you want a quarterback like Jalen Hurts, who you know is going to do everything to win a big game, or do you want a guy like Jared Goff, who's going to have gaudy numbers, but maybe won't do everything to win a big game?
I think Jalen Hurts has to answer the same questions as Jared Goff and as Brock Purdy. Who are you if you don't have the type of talent around you? And who are you for Hurts specifically if you don't have this cheat code of a play that led to him having, what was it, 14 rushing touchdowns this last season? How many were from more than a foot out or 2 feet? I mean, you know, he's not an electric runner like those guys you mentioned, Lamar Jackson.
I disagree with that.
But he holds back. You complain about this to me every Monday morning we come in here.
He did get paid and stop running.
And last year, I know he missed 2 games because at the end of the season, he didn't play those 2 games. He didn't even top 3,000 yards passing. Just missed 2 games, didn't miss 5.
But you saw what happened when he got hurt. He got a concussion against the Commanders. They lost the game. That game said so much to me. And Kenny Pickett actually played okay in that game. But they lost the game. They need him to win. Without Jalen Hurts, his team isn't winning. I thought, remember a few years ago, they made the playoffs and they got destroyed by Tom Brady. He was so much better than I thought the media was saying. Like, I'm like, oh, this guy's really good. He's really, really accurate downfield. I just think he holds it back on purpose. I don't think it's because they don't have the talent to do that. If they really wanted to transform him into a high-volume passer, I'll bet you he could have the same big numbers as the other guys.
Listen, I think the top 10 and what Cam Newton is saying here, we're talking about Jalen Hurts answering one big question about the quarterback every day until the season starts, and we're starting with the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. I think that it's like, if I know hero ball, no one loves that with the NFL, but I ask you, if you put Jalen Hurts on a team with less talent,
give me a team.
Put him on the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, come on. Are you even a playoff team?
Are you even a playoff team? You put Josh Allen on the Arizona Cardinals, they're definitely a playoff team by hook or by crook. And I think that's the difference in why they're not top 10. Why he's not top 10. Or why you made the argument that he's not top 10. And by the way, I might take even the younger guys who are a little bit younger, not that Hurts is old, but take some of the even younger guys before I would take Jalen Hurts, like Jaden Daniels, and I think even you would take Daniels and CJ Stroud.
No, I wouldn't.
I didn't even mention Saquon Barkley, by
Hurts
the way.
Hurts destroyed those guys. I mean, he destroyed Jaden in the playoffs. I understand. The Eagles do have much more talent than Washington offensively. You put Jalen Hurts, the team I was thinking about, you put him on Tampa Bay, I think they're actually a better team than they are with Baker Mayfield, who's a very good quarterback. Arizona, you threw one at me there. That was a good one.
Yeah, come on. But Tampa Bay, they've won playoff games recently.
Right, but they're like a 9-win team with Baker Mayfield. Like, they have a ceiling. I think Jalen Hurts would be even better in that situation. I think he would be amazing in Detroit. I think he would be amazing. We're looking at the other top 10 quarterbacks.
Yeah, if you can't be amazing in Detroit, that's on you. You don't deserve to be in the league if you can't be amazing.
Who are your top? You got to find 10.
Justin Herbert. I would put Trevor Lawrence. CJ Stroud, Jaden Daniels. These are Jalen Hurts
would be amazing at Houston. He'd be incredible there.
But Jalen Hurts, again, Jared Goff and Brock Purdy are all guys I put in the category of I can't divorce who you are with the team around you. Would you actually be as good if you just didn't have these amazing general managers who have put this incredible talent?
I mean, listen, I'm a huge C.J. Stroud fan. I'm a huge Jaden Daniels fan. I'm telling you right now, in a game, Jalen Hurts is going to find a way to beat those guys. Jalen Hurts is the most underestimated quarterback in sports history because he was so underestimated at Alabama. Like, this guy was like, just went out there and won, and it wasn't pretty. He always finds ways to win. Then he went to Oklahoma. It was amazing. Like, people are like, wow. Everyone's always been, since he was in 11th grade, people have always been like, oh, he's not as good. His results are deceiving. I'm telling you, it's something about Jalen Hurts. He is legit.
That is such an insult to say that he's the most underrated quarterback ever.
He's been misunderstood.
Pearl, he was playing at Alabama.
Got benched.
In the championship game.
I know. I know.
Like, they made it all the way to the championship game. That's not underrated. You go to Oklahoma with Lincoln Riley, the quarterback kingmaker. There's nothing over, being underestimated. He was second in Heisman. Not underestimated. Getting votes from people to win the Heisman Trophy. He was the runner-up that year. Like, he's not being underestimated. He was a second-round pick and then disposed of Carson Wentz, who was a top-three pick not that long ago for your same team. And then, to be honest, like, Brock Purdy was underestimated.
Well, Purdy was the funny thing is Purdy came in as, like, the natural. He was a big deal in college, where Hurts was sort of...
big deal in college?
Brock Purdy was a star. He was huge.
And what huge game was he playing at Iowa State, that was bigger than Jalen Hurts playing for Alabama,
but
playing
Hurts
for national titles.
It was always kind of, Jalen Hurts definitely is a chip on the shoulder, you underestimate a guy. Brock Purdy, hit almost immediately. Like, he was great. Brock Purdy was a big star at Iowa State. Am I misremembering this?
Not even on the same caliber, though, as Alabama with Nick Saban. Guys, am I taking crazy pills now? He was Mr. Irrelevant.
This is
insanity.
You can't compare him to Hurts.
He's more underestimated than Kurt Warner or some of the other great Tom Brady. No shot.
Hurts has always had, in my opinion, always had this thing where it's like, okay, he's out there, he's producing, but is he really that good? It's always been kind of like the wraparound. Like, when he was there with Tua, they're all like, well, we all know Tua's better, but Hurts keeps winning, so we'll keep him on the field. I just don't think people have always understood him, and definitely in Philadelphia, and definitely this conversation now. The guy's been to two Super Bowls, and we're arguing him against, like, Baker Mayfield or something for the 10th spot. Like, I think he's consistently underestimated.
Can I ask you a question, though, because Philadelphia is a unique place? How long before you turn on Jalen Hurts? Because it's going to happen, because Philadelphia kind of has a weird relationship with their own quarterbacks. Because Donovan McNabb went to the Super Bowl as well, and everyone wanted to get him out of town.
I'd say 3 weeks.
Thank you for being honest. Go Birds.
But you guys don't know where you guys totally think, like, there was something about when Jalen Hurts went to Oklahoma, people were like super surprised by how good he was. Nobody knew he could pass the ball. Everyone was like, whoa, I didn't know that guy could do that, because he's always been underestimated. That's my point. I would say it was an utter shock what he did at Oklahoma.
I know Miami wanted him. Like, he was a very highly touted transfer. Like, that was a big Maryland wine and dined him, and Oklahoma obviously got him. Like, he was the number one transfer guy. Like, I think that I agree that he was underestimated as a passer. I don't think that he was Brock Purdy. Like,
Brock Purdy hit it big, and I think he came in a year second or third in Heisman odds. Like,
his junior, very good junior year, but he was playing with Breece Hall, and then Breece Hall left, and then Iowa State kind of tanked. And
he never got invited to New York.
Yeah,
but he came into the season with a lot of hype. I think double check his highest Heisman odds; they were really high.
Yeah, I mean, he had a really good junior year. I think that he was like the guy, but I feel like even then he still was more like the guy the nerds liked. I don't think that he was a household name. Like, Jalen Hurts was a household name.
Yeah, but Hurts, I mean, what was he most famous for in college?
His efficiency wasn't good and his field goal percentage and blah, 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 blah.
Dude got benched at halftime of a national title game.
Right.
How often does that happen in the history of college football?
No, it was a crazy thing that happened, but they were in the national title game for it to happen.
Why did he get benched?
Because they were losing.
He wasn't playing well.
But even coming into the game, everyone was like, well,
no,
I don't think
that.
Absolutely. Tua was on the radar. Everyone's like, we have a better quarterback on the bench. It wasn't out of nowhere. Everybody was, there was even debates like, should we just start Tua? There was a lot of talk about Tua being on his shoulder. Like, this guy's just not that good. That came up all the time.
No, it was a stunning moment when Nick Saban pulled the trigger at halftime. That wasn't an inevitability like, oh, we're just going to see what Jalen does, and if he's bad, we're going to yank him. No way. That's not how that went down.
No, but Tua was definitely like, it wasn't like they pulled a guy out of nowhere. There was a lot of talk that, hey, should Tua be the quarterback of this team throughout the second half of that year? I mean, Jalen Hurts was not great.
But not going into the title game. That's why it was such a stunning move when Nick Saban did it. That's why he gets a lot of credit, I think, for having the, you know, whatever, backbone to do something like that, even though it is Nick Saban.
I don't really remember it as like, hey, let's pull this little guy out of nowhere. I remember a lot of people saying, wow, because Hurts didn't, you know, was not a good passer at Alabama. There's just no way around it. And that's why they pulled him. I think there was in the ether that Tua should have been starting anyway.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Okay, so there you go. We're doing one big quarterback question per day, and 32 questions takes us right to opening night,
oh, God.
If you will. Yeah.
That's so soon. Yo, the Hall of Fame game is next week.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Well, we don't work on the weekends, so it's not 32 days, thankfully. I'm sorry. Yes, I will speak for myself. This show doesn't occur on the weekends.
Yeah, Maggie.
You guys do a great job on the weekends.
Thank you.
I'm sleepy.
Have you slept today?
No, I did not sleep last night at all.
What a gamer.
Not a second.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Okay, you can weigh in. Is Jalen Hurts a top 10 quarterback coming
Everybody
up?
Everybody knows the quarterback.
We've got more sports nicknames for you and results to reveal from the greatest nickname in sports bracket. Stay tuned.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. Heated debate on Jalen Hurts, top 10 quarterback. I mean, how many Super Bowls does he have to win, Maggie? That's so funny. Like, yeah. He is, you know, it's funny. Jalen Hurts will probably go to the Hall of Fame with one Super Bowl and two Super Bowl appearances. He's young. The trajectory of the team is good. He'll probably win a lot more games. So I can't believe we're debating. Would you admit he seems Hall of Fame bound?
So it's funny. I hadn't thought about that. We're doing one big question about every quarterback situation in the league leading up to the kickoff of the season. So we're starting, obviously, with the defending Super Bowl champs in the Philadelphia Eagles. We're asking, is Jalen Hurts a top 10 quarterback? Just to get you caught up here. As far as the Hall of Fame is concerned, so Eli Manning didn't get in this first ballot. And he's two Super Bowls, two Super Bowl MVPs. If Jalen Hurts has one win, one loss.
He's going to get in.
By the way, he wasn't even the MVP until pretty late in that game.
Well, Eli Manning's going to get in, I'm saying. So,
Eli will.
I know. That is a good point. He didn't get in first ballot. That surprised me. But I'd be surprised. You're right. Jalen Hurts was MVP. Somebody had to win that MVP. But he's pretty good. He was amazing in the first Super Bowl, the one they lost in Glendale.
The first Super Bowl, besides the fumble six, right, that he gave up, he was great in that Super Bowl. They lose to the Chiefs. He was good, but it ended up being such a blowout. And Saquon Barkley just didn't have the numbers in the Super Bowl.
That defense won that for sure. But let me ask you a question. How old, without looking up, do you think Jalen Hurts is?
Oh, I bet he's younger than I think.
Yeah, based on that question.
Yeah, is he like 26?
He's 26, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing.
He's got a long way to go. Although, been a little banged up.
I mean, Michael Penix came in the league at 24.
Yeah, but Penix played for every college under the sun.
Like a lot of guys, like 26, he's got a lot more wins ahead of him.
Mike's in Seattle's mad at me. What's up, Mike? How are you?
Thanks for having me on again. Perloff, this is Mike from Philly. Hey,
Mike.
You know what, buddy? Hey, thanks for sticking up for Hurts. You know something, Maggie? You hate the tush push so much.
I do.
Because Buffalo can't run it.
I know.
They tried it at the beginning of the year a few times, and they can't do it.
Nobody not just a few times, Mike. The Bills have the second most tush push attempts after the Eagles, and they're not nearly as successful at it. But my question, take my Bills out of this. But yes, I wish they would stop running it. But I just ask about Jalen Hurts. Maybe take top 10 away, but asking if he's an elite quarterback, I think
he's definitely elite quarterback, and he gets better every year.
Okay, but Mike, what if the tush push was taken away? You know, the NFL is trying to take it away.
One thing nobody's given him is how he reads defenses like he did this year. He has made himself so good in the last couple of years by working it.
Mike, that's
fine.
He's a hard worker.
I've never seen an NFL quarterback work.
He's a super hard worker, but why was A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts acknowledging that the passing game was broken week 13 of this past season?
Because we had Saquon Barkley in the backfield, and we didn't have to. We got that line. It did.
I'm just talking about passer. I'm just talking about as a passer.
He did to Smith. Look at the passes he did to Smith, not just A.J. Brown.
And Smith was not happy either. Like, that happened.
That's what happened. But, they're never happy. What's your top receiver that left Buffalo? He wasn't too happy either, was he?
Stephon Diggs. Yeah. Well, he didn't leave Buffalo. Diggs. They traded him out of town.
They're all whiners, too, you know?
Well, Mike, I want to back you up on that. There is no situation on earth that A.J. Brown and Stephon Diggs would be happy with their targets. Unless they are throwing the ball every single play, they will always and have always complained. There's tons of on the record complaining about not getting enough targets.
Well, he said the passing game is broken, and Jalen Hurts agreed.
Because he was just trying to get out of that locker room without fighting A.J. Brown. He agreed because he had to keep A.J. Brown happy. A.J. Brown could win by 4 touchdowns and complain about his target numbers. That's who A.J. Brown is.
Thank you for that, Mike. Jamie's in Dallas. Good morning, Jamie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Look, as much as I hate to say it, obviously I'm a Cowboys fan, this guy wins. That's what it's about.
Right.
All this stats, the stuff on the back of the football card, like this, like that, like blah, blah, blah. He outplayed Mahomes in the Super Bowl. He wins. You know, the style of it and all those other things. Do you think Troy Aikman complains or people complain about Emmitt Smith was getting all the touchdowns and that somehow lowers Troy Aikman's status? No. The game is – it's home – and against, home and away. That's the only score that matters. Jamie, None of these other stats matter.
I have a question for you, though, on that, and it's a fair point. Do you think Eli Manning is a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers?
No, I don't think Eli Manning was better than Tony Romo.
So it's not about only winning, then. Like that's,
yeah, but no, Eli, no, if but, Eli had won more, then we wouldn't be having this conversation. Eli was like 9-7 every year he won the Super Bowl.
No, but I'm just saying that if you're just saying it's about finding a way to win a Super Bowl, then Eli Manning would be considered a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers, and we all know that's not true.
That's a stretch, and you're going way around the fact that Aaron Rodgers has been a playoff underachiever and underperformer for his entire career, and that's just the bottom line. That's a different conversation. Eli overachieved in those moments.
I'm just saying, if you're going to go, it's only about did you win versus, you know, like if you won, that means that you are the better quarterback. I'd say there's more that goes into it then.
But Aaron Rodgers won it like an 80% clip or a huge clip in his. You were talking about winning just the Super Bowl. We're just talking about now, Jamie. Was that what you were talking about?
Yeah, I'm talking about winning games. Jalen Hurts, wherever he's been, they win. I don't care if it was the sixth grade Pop Warner team.
Right.
I guarantee you they won every week.
Okay, but here's the other thing.
He's just wired like that.
That's fine.
And that's what sports is about.
That's fine. And he's a winner everywhere he goes, and that's fantastic. But Perloff also said that he's underrated.
I said underestimated.
If you win everywhere you go, from what'd you say, Pop Warner, how are you underestimated? Mm-hmm. How is that possible?
Dak Prescott wins a bunch. All right? Second in the MVP 2 years ago. I got to put Hurts above him just because what he does when it's the most important.
Yeah.
Not when you're piling up stats or any of those other things. None of those things matter. What do you do when you get to the playoffs? Can you get to a spot when everybody knows what y'all want to do?
Right.
And can you still find a way to do it? And can you elevate your play at the most important moments? And I would argue that Hurts does that. And I'll go back at you because a guy that y'all want to put at the top of the list up in Buffalo never elevates his play at the most important times. In fact, like last year's AFC Championship game, whether it be the offensive coordinator or not, he tends to shrink from those moments, just like Dak Prescott.
He's got a much better playoff record than Dak Prescott, though, Jamie. I mean, you're talking about Josh Allen, obviously, has not been able to beat Patrick Mahomes and lost to Joe Burrow. I'll give you all of that. I'm not going to run from it. But you can't just say that Josh Allen plays poorly in the playoffs. That's just not true.
Nobody cares about third place, second place, fourth place, fifth place. The Super Bowl is the only thing that matters.
Okay, Jamie, was it Josh Allen's fault that they lost the 13 seconds game when he's not on the field?
Yes.
How? He doesn't play linebacker? I know he looks like he can, but
it's funny because Jamie, and I think, would admit he kind of contradicted himself and said it. it's not all about the Super Bowl wins, but then he's saying it's about the Super Bowl wins. So, but I get it because that's it. You brought up a great point. Eli Manning's not better than Aaron Rodgers, but I do ask you a question.
Yeah.
If it's a big game, and it's the fourth quarter, who do you want under center?
Well, but here, so I'm still going to go with Aaron Rodgers.
You probably shouldn't.
No, because here's the thing. Eli Manning, every other year that he didn't win a Super Bowl, didn't win a playoff game.
It's a big game, and it's the fourth quarter. Eli's under center. He's pretty good.
He's great in those moments. Manny's looking at me like I'm crazy.
Because you kind of are. I mean, you're drinking out of your puke cup as well, but whatever.
This is not the puke cup. This is the green cup. The puke cup is navy. That's the cup I puked in one day when I was sick, and I put in the dishwasher, and I started using it again, and suddenly I'm living in a frat house.
Now you get bullied, yes.
All right. We'll leave it there, but you're welcome to weigh in at 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. You know Jalen Hurts gets a lot of respect when a Cowboy fan just called in to defend him. That's pretty good.
But the fact that I would put it a different way, the fact that a Cowboy fan has to call in to defend him shows how underestimated. I'm not going to say underrated. And I'm telling you, this guy, he's like a Tom Brady, chip against the shoulder. He's probably as an account of everyone who doubted him. This guy's been doubted. People didn't think he could throw the football in college. And now he's a two-time Super Bowl participant. I keep wanting to say two-time Super Bowl winner. Basically, he kind of won that first one. Can we just give him that?
He played great.
He played very well, except for that fumble six. Let's get to Bogan, who's got headlines for us.
Guys, not surprisingly, there are some major kinks to work out with college sports' new revenue-sharing system. The biggest one might have been settled yesterday with multiple outlets saying that lawyers and power brokers have agreed that NIL collectives will now be categorized as valid businesses by the NIL Clearinghouse. Up until now, collectives were not approved forms of compensation because they did not provide any actual goods or services. They only existed to pay players. That's why many schools had taken their collectives in-house. Now they can return to existing on their own and handing out money to players.
This is ridiculous.
So this whole thing lasted 2 weeks that you only have $20 million to spend, and now it's just poof, gone. Collectives are back. Look, pay your recruits. Pay them to show up at the car dealership. Yeah. All those, like,
You don't even have to show up at the car dealership.
Yeah, just whatever. Just hand out the money.
That lasted long. Yeah.
College football, man.
Yeah. You still technically have that, whatever it is, $20 million cap on straight from the school, but now you've got these guys, again, just able to add on to whatever you're getting.
I'll tell you who's rejoicing today. The basketball players.
Oh, right, because they were going to get frozen out of the revenue share.
Absolutely. Yeah. If they were trying to actually keep this to $20 million and that's it, and you have to do this high threshold of a clearinghouse. Well, you still have to do the clearinghouse, but this super high threshold to make any money off of NIL. Basketball would have gotten totally screwed. Sports would have gotten totally screwed.
Except that basketball wouldn't, because they would just pay them anyway. Because everybody was immediately stated, we're going to ignore these rules. And you know why they're ignoring those rules? Because not a single one of these would hold up in any court in America, because they're ridiculous. The NCAA still trying to claw back power was one of the biggest jokes. But the thing about women's sports, that's a little complicated, though, because you know that schools are probably going to try and cut some sports. They're still using this excuse. I worry about spending on the lesser sports.
Absolutely.
Men's too.
For sure. I'm just glad also that, you know, not only can everyone make money over the top, but that the women can for sure, because I think for some of them, the, you know, NIL is...
They're not getting collective money.
Extremely important for them.
Right.
I wish that was a little more even.
I got to be honest. I feel very complicated about that issue, because some of them, they're not selling athleticism, though.
Well, we want to talk about that.
Is that a sports? Like, the fact that you can be on a varsity college team and sell bikini shots, like, that's what the system's supposed to be about?
Well, there's like a body positivity angle of that I think women would say, well, like, this is my body. It can do triple backflips and can also look good in a bikini. Why shouldn't it be celebrated for both?
And then I just think that's not how we view the men's sports. Like, gosh, like Giancarlo Stanton looks great shirtless.
Welcome to the world where women are judged more on their looks than men. This is like, I could have told you that.
But also back in the day when the strictest rules applied, you couldn't do that.
No, it's better.
You can't now pick and choose like what's good and what's bad. Like, you used to not be able to do anything to make any money, whether it was connected to your sport or not. So now you take those things away and all these things are fine.
But it goes back to a debate Maggie and I have had. And listen, you were at Sports Illustrated where the swimsuit issue made all the money.
Yep.
It felt like you pulled out your SI stock answer right there about body positivity.
It's about art, guys.
But when, and you're a big tennis fan, when they tried to make Anna Kournikova and Maria Sharapova a thing.
They didn't try. They were things.
They did.
And that was not of women.
So yeah, I just think we have
to. That was because of men.
Well, and Sharapova was good, too. That helped a lot.
That's true.
She was good.
She did help.
But they tried to make her more than she was, I would argue.
She was the highest grossing, in terms of advertisements, Maria Sharapova made more money than Serena Williams, who was winning at 20 times the clip.
Yeah, anyway, collectives are have no issue. But I have another college issue, and I've said this before. Why should the USC football players be going out there and getting concussions and raising all this money so that a water polo player whose dad is a hedge fund manager can get a free ride at USC? I don't like football. Why does football have to pay?
Subsidizing, you're saying?
Subsidizing all the sports. Like, why was that always been a thing? I think that's totally unfair. I say let football be its own business. And NCAA should have nothing to do with it, free market, .. And I think I actually have a good point with that.
Well, it's actually better now then, because that polo player could get NIL money, can get money from the collective that doesn't take from the $20 million that's allotted as by the athletic department.
The collectives are not raising money for water polo players. They're raising money for revenue sports, football and basketball.
But like, you don't think that, like, the Cavender Twins, for example, you don't think the collective, like, Miami's collective definitely was involved with that.
And what you're also, I think what you're forgetting is there's also people who are USC water polo alums who are going to want to pay kids to come play water polo at USC. So there are people who are specific donors that are not giving money to football or basketball. They give it to the sport that they came from, or the sport, or they want to maybe be helpful, and they go, football's got enough, let me give to whatever. So those people do exist as well.
I do think football pays for a lot of other programs.
No, of course it does. But there are still people who want to help individual sports.
Like earmark things.
Right, exactly.
For certain sports.
This money is for that. And it's not just here's $10, spend it how you want.
Wait, I have to go back to one thing, and this is out of ignorance. Why would a collective pay the Cavender Twins for what?
To Miami.
The marketing for the school that the Cavender Twins are at Miami.
But
you know,
they're already making $5 million a year from AT&T and everybody else. Like, the collective doesn't need to pay the Cavender Twins. I think they're making tons of legit marketing deals.
Right, but then they're matching now. Okay, now I'm getting this marketing money. All right, who wants my services and the attention and the followers and things I bring to your school? Forget about just a basketball program.
It's about keeping the Cavenders in Miami.
Yeah.
As I understand, like, a lot of the collectives are organized around the football team. You think there's – what collective is paying them? There's a collective on the basketball, Miami women's basketball team?
I would be stunned if Miami's collective was not involved. I mean, I follow the Miami school a lot closely because of how much I love the football team. It feels like it's the Miami football team and them. Like, that's the school. Yeah. It's like the football team and also, like, the Cavender Twins are here, guys. Like, they definitely don't shy away from that being a big part of the school's brand. I don't know. I think this was their last year, so they might have moved on. But, like, that's a big part of that. I would be stunned if they weren't. If you could be right. Maybe they didn't. But
why
Miami
would
they? They don't shy away from promoting those two girls.
I'm with Prof. I'm sure 99.999% of it is for football.
Yeah.
You know, we're not naive about that. We understand.
Yeah. I don't think the whole basketball roster is getting, like, Miami's women's basketball roster. They're not paying for everybody. I think there are a select few. I'm sure USC's collective has something to do with Juju.
And AZ Fudd's getting money from UConn. I got that. Those it depends on the school.
But it's funny. I always think of collectives and mostly around the football teams.
I think you're right.
Right.
Absolutely.
But there
no one's challenging you on that.
Yeah, but there's people and money for the other sports. And some schools that don't play football, then it's about basketball.
Yeah, but like the Cavender Twins are making all this money elsewhere. That's where the women's, I think it's real marketing, marketing.
Yeah, but like you want them to come to Miami and make people come to the games to watch them play.
Yeah, there's still recruiting happening.
Right.
What else you got, folks?
What else we got? Oh, the only thing loopier than our Margaret these days might be this Phillies-Red Sox series.
Here comes Harper. He's going to try to steal home the throw, and he is...
I think he called a ball.
I think he did call a ball.
Wait a minute.
Tom McCarthy, John Crook, NBC Sports Philadelphia, the day after the Phillies won on bases-loaded catcher's interference in the 10th inning, Bryce Harper scored the second run of their first inning on basically the same call. This time, Harper was trying to steal home, as you heard. Boston catcher Carlos Narvaez stepped in front of home plate to catch the pitch and try to tag Harper. He's not allowed to do that. That's catcher's interference and a balk. So Harper scores safely. The other base runners advance, and the batter was given first base.
This series is so inebriated. It's awesome.
It's things that you drink out of a puke cup.
Yeah. I think it's breaking my brain.
You sure this, it's not the puke?
This poor catcher, just like in the middle of everything for Boston, just mistake after mistake. He's got to be like, I can't buy a win right now.
Yeah, that was a... I almost felt bad beating the Red Sox last night.
You didn't. The Phillies won the game 4-1.
Because then Devers goes out of wins in San Francisco. I've been rooting for Boston to just run the table and be awesome without Devers. I don't know why. I'm big into that revenge plot. No, but the Phillies, the Phillies, by the way, look terrible in this series, and they're winning like 3-1. Like, I don't know.
You want to know why you should not love this if you're a Phillies fan? Is because this is karma that could come around. So, like, you win off of a catcher's interference and then basically off another catcher's interference and a balk. At some point, the baseball gods are going to come back on it. Everything evens out, I think, when
and
it comes
I'm,
to this
totally. And I'm hoping that that is this weekend when the Philadelphia Phillies come to the Bronx and play my New York Yankees. I'll be there on Sunday, Pearl, so.
Yeah, who are you going
it's
with,
on, baby.
Who from here is going with you?
I'm going with my boy Chuck.
Oh, okay.
Going with my boy Chuck.
Chuck.
Love you. Shout out Chuck.
I do love Chuck.
We will get to Rafael Devers. Thank you, Bogish, because you're right.
They don't call me Championship Chuck.
Andrew Perloff has taken up for the Boston Red Sox faithful when it comes to Red Sox v. Rafael Devers.
V. Devers, not the Yankees. I could care less about the Red Sox Yankees. Does that help, Manny?
No.
888-710-4ISN. We have more sports nicknames for you as well. It's M&P. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, so glad to have you on this very busy Wednesday. We've started a new segment today called One Big Quarterback Question. It's innovative. We are asking one big question about each NFL quarterback room as we lead up to the season, and we have timed this out, so we will start today and end the day when the season kicks off, which will be the Eagles against the Cowboys. We started with those reigning Super Bowl champion Eagles, and the question is Jalen Hurts a top 10 quarterback? Now, Cam Newton really got this topic even going, Pearl, because he said that Jalen Hurts is not a top 10 quarterback. Yeah. And Cam, to be fair, has been pretty critical of any quarterback he doesn't see as being the system. Like, if you are playing within the system, you aren't the system, like Cam Newton was in Carolina. He really holds those quarterbacks to a high standard. Do you notice that?
I hadn't noticed it, but that makes sense. Now, the thing about Cam was he was so mobile that he defied the system, which is funny because Hurts has been pretty mobile at certain times too. Actually, you know, it's funny. Last year, Purdy was running around like crazy, and he was in the ultimate system, and then he didn't even run the plays. He's just like every play broke down, and he scrambled everywhere, and that didn't really work.
It didn't go well.
But when Cam was at his best, Carolina tailored their system to him. So I'm not sure that's totally accurate. If that's the case, then is Lamar Jackson far and away the best quarterback because he's sort of system-proof because he's such a great runner?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's also why Josh Allen gets a lot of credit too. Because, and I think where Cam got a lot of credit, or maybe Cam even feels like, man, Jalen Hurts, look at everything around him. You have this amazing offensive line. You have Saquon Barkley. You have two of the highest paid receivers in the league in A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. You have fantastic tight end. You've got all these things. You got this tush push. You got this unstoppable play that nobody can wrap their brain around. Meanwhile, Cam Newton had, you know, Jonathan Stewart and Jericho Cotchery and Corey Brown. Like, he is going to the Super Bowl with Fozzie Whitaker, you know?
That was a pretty good
team. And Greg Olson, of course they were a good team. Ted Ginn Jr., but not anywhere close to the talent, top to bottom on offense, that Jalen Hurts has. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, that team was elite, though. But that one year, and then their O-line got banged up. That was what happened, which could happen to Hurts, too, by the way.
Let's go to Nate. He's in Iowa. Good morning, Nate.
Good morning, guys. How you doing this morning? Thanks for taking my call this morning. And Maggie, I think you just touched on what I was going to lead into here. It takes a well-built team to make an elite quarterback. I mean, I'm even going to go back even a little bit further. You know, earlier in the segment, you guys talked about Troy Aikman versus Brett Favre. I'm going to say far and away, Troy Aikman had a better team around him for the years. And I'm not a Cowboys fan. I'm just coming out and saying that. that Troy had a better team around him, because not only did he have Emmett, but he also had Michael Irvin and that offensive line over the years that was great. Green Bay had two all-pro quarterbacks over a span of 30 years and could only win two Super Bowls with those two quarterbacks. Those franchises, you know, back when Dallas, even today with the Chiefs are a well-ran organization. Mm-hmm. Yes, you lucked into Patrick Mahomes 11th in the draft, but it still takes a well-ran organization to put a quarterback in that situation. Now you move to Jalen Hurts. He was drafted in the second round when the Eagles already had a first-round quarterback in Carson Wentz that was injured. Doug Peterson brought him in because they liked what he could do. They liked what they saw in him. And then Howie Roseman, you know, if you want to say it or not, he's one of the best GMs in the league. He's brought that team around him. They've built the offensive and the O-line, D-line. They fleeced the Giants to get Saquon Barkley, which on the flip side of that, the Giants are one of the worst-ran organizations in the league, and that's the reason why they're always in the tank year in and year out. And then ultimately you go out, you fleece the Titans for Brown.
And so, Nate, your point is that you can be a great quarterback. You need a great general manager to build the team around you, is what you're saying.
Exactly. I mean, look at some of the number one picks that have come in the league over the last 10 years. Everyone's like, oh, this is the next great thing. This is the next great thing.
No.
They don't work.
We're going to be talking about Caleb Williams. Thank you, Nate, for the call. I think what we were talking about was more about a caller called in to say it's only about winning when it comes to the quarterback position.
Right.
Winning Super Bowls. And I said, okay, in that case, do you think Eli Manning was a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers?
Eli Manning was barely above 500, where Aaron Rodgers won 80% of his games. So Aaron Rodgers won a lot of the regular season. It does kind of obscure the argument. But I think that we're having a full-on system quarterback argument, aren't we?
This is your wheelhouse. You invented this.
Let's get real here. If Patrick Mahomes wasn't linked with Andy Reid, does Patrick Mahomes' career unfold the same way? Probably not. You can't put Patrick Mahomes on any team and expect him to do what he did with Andy Reid. This has been a great match.
This is where I disagree with you. I think that if Patrick Mahomes was on the Bills, I would have a Super Bowl title by now. I do. And I love Josh Allen. I hope he gets one. Maybe he'll have one also. But I don't think that Patrick Mahomes had to be with Andy Reid to be the guy he is today.
Okay. Yeah, I disagree with that. I think, and you go through history. I mean, every great quarterback. Honestly, Peyton Manning is a guy who people thought invented his system, but he got hooked up with Tom Moore, I believe his name was, his offensive coordinator, who had massive success before him. It's a team sport, even at quarterback. Like, there's always a support group. There's always the right circumstance. Tom Brady definitely would not have been Tom Brady if he'd been drafted somewhere else.
Okay, but Tom Brady is not Patrick Mahomes in terms of, like, Brady had certain other qualities that made him a champion. We're talking about Patrick Mahomes. We already have people out there who think he's more talented than Tom Brady.
Definitely.
His skill set.
Yeah, he definitely is.
Right. Wouldn't that make up? Like, Tom Brady did have to go to a great system. Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, these guys are so talented, they could have won other places.
Definitely. And Aaron Rodgers did win one Super Bowl, but Patrick Mahomes would probably be closer to Aaron Rodgers than Tom Brady if he had gone to another team. Probably like a one Super Bowl guy.
Yeah, I don't see it that way.
You think he would have won three?
I do. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Okay, so we have more of that for you. You want to weigh in on Jalen Hurts being an elite quarterback? You're welcome to do so. We are also asking one big question about college football today. What is it? We'll find out next.